And I can't do a whole lot of review today by commandment. I'm not sure if we got this morning and then Wednesday night, unless the Lord changes the order of the services. And then Saturday I leave for Korea, so I'll be gone for 2 weeks. And then we don't know what's going to happen after that when I get back. But praise God, I know exactly what He wants to do this morning, and I know what He wants to do Wednesday night. So we don't have a whole lot of time for review, so let's just get on our diving board here and launch into this, okay? Here's our diving board. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And again, in the King James, it has a capital S, meaning that the translators thought that meant that those that are led by the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to diminish the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. There is a leadership of the Holy Spirit. And for years, I kept looking for that leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And again, I'm not going to do like Dave and tell you that I saw this movie through a Radio Shack window while I was looking for preaching equipment. But there was a movie out quite a few years ago, and the song in that movie went, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." I was looking for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in all the wrong places. That's why years later, when the Holy Spirit began to, when I used to have those what I call the face-to-face encounters now that are available at the website, He began, one of the things He told me that day, He says, you're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, partly because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. You are expecting them to come in such a manner that they will cause you to move. But His instructions come in such a manner that they release me to move. Holy Ghost. See, so most of us, we want that leadership of the big S, don't we? We want that leadership of the Holy Spirit. See, but what this is really saying, there is a qualifying process to get there. And it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't trying to lead us. Trouble is, we're not mature enough to follow Him. Again, I kind of hate to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what? I'm afraid from heaven's point of view, we're very much like the Corinthian church. Send us revival. We're ready, God, you know. And God was using them. He was using them in the gifts. I mean, that's the very book where we learn all about the gifts of the Spirit. And God was using them. Paul says, you come behind in no gift. And right after that, he says, you're such babies. I can't even give you meat. All I can give you is milk. And one day I saw us. It was probably just me I saw, okay? Wasn't you. But I saw me. Let's say it that way. Contending for revival. I'm ready, God. Send us revival. With my thumb in my mouth like a little infant. I'm ready, God. Carnal, thumb-sucking, bottle-need-a-diaper-changing bunch. Competitive, argumentative, easily offended, no stamina, no endurance. I must be talking about some other church, right? I'm not talking about it. But okay, I'll just keep talking about me, okay? The kind who thinks the word fast means quickly. The kind who gets beat out of a 40-day fast by noon. But I'm ready for a revival, though. Send me to the hard places. Can you avoid a cheeseburger for one day? No. Now that's asking too much. Review. Well, see, because really Romans 8:14, that should be a little less. What he's really talking about there is the leadership that comes by the new nature. And Dave summed up, you know how the Lord just uses, he summed up this whole teaching series in just a sentence or two. That day when he says, now you do know that before Jesus can conquer your city, he first has to conquer you. Oh my God, that's what this verse is talking about. Those who've come to the place where they let that new nature lead them in everything. And if you leave it in the context, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, he's talking about It's the difference between the Old Testament and the New. It's the difference between before the cross and after the cross. Before the cross, they had to use the energy of willpower and the energy of the mind and the promises and the curses that were in the law. That's what caused them to not obey every prompting of the flesh. Again, it wasn't just a matter of, am I deciding whether or not to commit adultery? No, I'm deciding whether or not I want to be stoned to death. So that's the reason God had to give them that system. But in the New Testament, God didn't give us an external law written in tables of stone. He gave us an internal law written in fleshly tables of the heart. You've got a law from the inside that tells you it's wrong to commit adultery. Now it's still up to you whether to yield to it. And that's Romans 8:14. Those that learn to be led. That means where those promptings that come all the time, that's where you quit dismissing them and begin doing them. Yeah. All the time. Like Jesus did. And he says, now those are my brethren. Those are not the, you know, a little baby can be your brethren. It doesn't mean he's ready to plow with you in the field. God's not saying we're not born again. He's saying, are you ready to plow with my son in the field? Are you ready to take the yoke? Hallelujah. Well, so the last two services we did, the skirt, we talked about one of those face-to-face encounters called the Scourging Post. This one was a sequel, came a few days later. And this one is called Overcomers in This Age. And I'm just going to read quite a bit of it, and we're going to give some examples and illustrations as we go along. Now, again, if you saw The Passion by Mel Gibson, that's pretty good. It fits the vision that the Lord gave me years before I saw that movie, where the scourging post was a post about belt high, and it had chains fastened to the top of it with iron wrist bracelets to keep a person there. It wasn't taller than a man. It was about belt high. And when I saw how Mel depicted it in that movie, I said, that's exactly the way I saw it in the spirit. And you know that Jesus was lashed there. But in the same way that, like, you know, when the people came to be baptized by John the Baptist, they were coming as an act of repentance, symbolically to have their sins washed away. Jesus did not come for that same purpose. Amen. Yet he was baptized. In the same way, we don't fast. And see, again, I have to review this because we've got 48 minutes. Fasting, for benefit of this tape, is the entrance. That's what the Holy Spirit was talking about regarding the scourging post. He said that's the door. It's not that fasting isn't the only thing involved with the scourging post. Other things in our life that have involved the scourging post have been like the time he told me to give away my prized pickup to my worst enemy. That was not an easy day. I said, that guy doesn't even like me. He said, yeah, that's the one. You heard me right. What pickup? Yeah, I only had one. Could be talking about my pickup. Yeah, it was. There's other hard days, you know. But fasting is the primary. It's the door, very much like the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the beginning of your walk in the supernatural, not the ending of it. Okay? Well, fasting is the door. It's what you can do anytime you want to. It's kind of like praying in other tongues. You can do this anytime you want to begin scourging that old flesh, not letting it have everything that it wants all the time. Well, but then he goes on, because in the same way that Christ is our example, even though he himself, let me just read the way he said this here, he was following up on that teaching, the scourging post. This is Overcomers in This Age. He said, for there was nothing in the nature of Christ that needed purging through suffering in the flesh. He did not choose to remain at the scourging post for that reason. Satan had nothing in him, says the Spirit of Grace. Now, in his spirit, in his character. He remained at the scourging post because it was the will of his Father that his body be broken for the healing of the divisions and strife of men. By his stripes we were healed. Remember every time that Dave teaches us on communion, he goes to 1 Corinthians 11, He talks about where men get into strife and arguments. He says, I hear that there are divisions among you, Paul says. I hear that there, and I partly believe it. And Dave always says, go ahead, Paul, believe it. Truly, there are divisions and strife and everything. And he says, because, and later on in the chapter, he says, now because there's these strifes and envies and unforgiveness and competitiveness going on, because of that reason, many are sickly and many have died early. Yet it was for those very divisions between men that Christ, He took our place. He took that punishment. You go all the way back to the Old Testament, like Dave does every time, where if two men were in contention, they come before the elders, and the one that was guilty, 39 lashes were laid upon his back. That's exactly what Jesus did in our place for all of humanity, for all the divisions and all the strifes of men. He took our punishment. And all he asks now is forgive others as the Father has forgiven you. How did the Father forgive you? Just freely forgive you? No, I took your punishment. I have no right to be in strife. I have no right to be in strife with Bernard or my worst enemy after Jesus has already taken the punishment for whatever they did to me. How can I hold it against them when my Savior bore that punishment already? Unforgiveness is probably the number one tool of the devil to snare us all. You're dismissed. That's just, that thought right there would be, that'll change your life right there. Glory to God. We got to go on here. So that's why he stayed. Not because he was trying to, you got to understand, he was not there to purge his flesh of nothing. He was there for the same reason he hung on the cross. He didn't commit sin. He was there paying the price for it. At the scourging post, he wasn't in unforgiveness against anybody. He was there to pay for the strifes and divisions of men. He took the 39 lashes himself. But he was able to do it because of the character and the nature that's on the inside of him. And that's what we're coming to. That's the same nature in seed form that was put in you when you were born again. You have, like Dave has taught us, in before you were born again, every person on the planet, because they're all born with that same seed of the sin nature, they have the potential to grow up to be the next Hitler. Because of the seed that's planted in every Christian when they're born again. See, Paul didn't receive something more than you received. He didn't receive a different nature than what you received. We all got that same nature. And we all, how far we go with it, how much we're allowed to be, we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us to that same image. It's up to us. But we have the potential to walk as He walked. What does the Bible say about it? About us and Him. As He is, so are we in this world. That's God's dream, and that's God's faith statement over each and every one of us. Amen? Well, so what is the reason for this scourging post? He says, the Holy Spirit said to me, I say again, it was not to be purged that he remained at the scourging post. No, it was his nature and his character in full manifestation to the degree that he remained to suffer in the flesh because it was the will of the Father. It was a portion of the Father's plan for his life. Can you see that? His nature and his character were such that suffering in the flesh could not deter him from obeying the will of the Father. That life, that nature, that character in him caused him to be obedient even unto death, even unto the death of the cross. No one understand that the purpose of you embracing the scourging post is twofold. Everyone say twofold. All right, now, he talks about the secondary one first. Of secondary importance is the purging of those things which you would call, quote, sins of the flesh. How would they describe that? Smoking, chewing, going with girls that are doing. Smoking and chewing. You know? In other words, those things, we all, you know, the ones that are, some are easily seen. The Bible talks about that. Some men's sins are just easily seen, you know. When Sue and I first started, we have great sympathy for people that are bound by nicotine. When Sue and I first started here, we were two of those that would stand out under the canopy and smoke during a service. We couldn't make it 30 minutes, much less as long as these services run. Are you kidding? We couldn't make it 30 minutes. Sometimes we'd have to go out there and take a couple of smoke breaks. Well, what's better? Smoke and pray? You tell me. How does Dave put that? He says, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. A creep that prays has a chance to be to become uncreepable. Uncreepy. Can't tell you the number of years I'd come down here and pray till I couldn't stand it no more and walk that path and smoke like a freight train. You know, they wonder, what? There's a fire in the brush out there. No, it's Gary. Sins of the flesh, secondary importance, he says. And it will deal with those things. Sins of the flesh. But now here's the primary importance. Boy, yes, sir. Como se caso. Okay, help me. Yes, sir. Boy, he wants to accomplish something today. I've got today and Wednesday night. Okay, so I can't divert too long here. Let me say it. Of secondary importance is the purging of those things which you would call sins of the flesh. But that's secondary. Of primary importance is the development of the nature and the character of Christ within you. That His life come forward to full harvest. That you be willing to suffer in the flesh if needs be, so that the will of the Father be accomplished in the earth. That's what He's after. He's not after, it's not a scoreboard to see how many cheeseburgers you can avoid over the next 30 days. Really, ultimately, what He's after is, yes, sir. Let me go ahead and go a little bit towards the end here. And for a guy that doesn't normally use notes, you're talking about me now. This was in 98. I've already been through a little bit of this, but I got a feeling that most of this is still yet to come. He says, talking to me now, for His plans for you, my son, are to send you into hard places to rescue His sheep, where suffering in the flesh shall be required. Now, we're suffering in the flesh. You know, what I've been through so far is so mild. I'm embarrassed to tell you that it was even a fight for me to stay 31 days in Africa without Sue. Now, to me, it was a tremendous war. But I look at it in comparison to the Apostle Paul, for example, who, after all he did was preach the gospel and God did a miracle through him and who he was traveling with. And it so stirred up the religious devils in the city that they drug him, they stoned him and drug him out of the city and they thought he was dead. To the point that the other disciples that were traveling with him, they made a circle around him and prayed. Whether he was dead or not, I don't know, but it was bad anyway. Have you ever had a rock hit you in the face on purpose where somebody threw it at you? And there's a whole mob of them. I mean, a rock hurts. And to have another one coming, and you know they're not planning on stopping until you're just not breathing anymore. Do you know what Paul did after that? He went back into the same cities and says, I'm not through with the assignment that the Lord gave me. I got to go back in there. There's still souls to be. Some of those old boys that threw them rocks, they still got to be saved. Now look at that, and I compare my walk. Gee, I managed to stay in a nice motel in South Africa for 31 days without Sue. Oh, the suffering. Gary, you're so mortified. Asked me to endure, 4 days without eating. Not 40. I didn't say 40. Daisy says 40. See, when God says to her, Daisy, 40, she says yes. God says 40 to Gary. Gary says 4. And real lucky if we make that. He only made that a few times. And that's sad. That's what he's talking about. Yet, because we don't yield ourselves to those type of things, you know Christ is not going to finish any assignment he receives. What I mean by he is not going to abort any assignment he receives from the Father until the Father says, it's finished. He's not going to let his flesh stop him halfway through anything. Isn't that right? That's the seed of the nature that's in you. That's the seed of the nature that's in me. And Jesus himself said, it comes in like a little seed. It's like a mustard seed. See, that's why we still feel weak. We go, no, I'm not like that, Gary. I know I'm not like that. You have the potential to be like that because that new nature is in there. And the whole purpose, the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to mature and grow up that image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image. From glory to glory. It's not overnight. It's progressive. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The scourging post is a tool. It's something you can do where it's safe in America at home. Not on the mission field with a witch doctor jumping out at you with a machete made in Taiwan. I don't know why they're only made in Taiwan, but anyway, according to Dave, they are. I mean, that's not the time. That's what he means when he said, that's not the time to question, am I called? I think I better go develop some character of Christ in me. No, you should have done that in America, where it was safe. And all you had to deal with was your own emotions. And not that guy. How many of you want to overcome in this world? He talked about this being an overcomers in this age. All right, let me go back here just a little bit. These things help, and I'm only able to hit some highlights, but all of these face-to-face documents are at the website. If you don't have access to the internet, we're glad to print you a copy. Someone just asked me by email. They've lost theirs, and they said, my printer is so slow, it'd take me 2 weeks or something to print this out. God has provided us with a super fast double-sided printer. I mean, it prints on both sides of the page at the same time. And we're happy. Now, I'm asking you, if you're able, please print them. If you have a good, decent printer. But if not, we will provide a printed copy for you, free. Someone asks, can I buy them? No. No, people that send a check in order to purchase tapes from us, we return those checks. And we know what they meant. They meant well. They say, no, the tapes are free. And, we appreciate your good intention, but here's your check back. Now, if the Lord deals with you about ever helping us, that's a whole other matter. But the tapes, they're too expensive. They're not for sale. What's on them, there's no price you could put on them. They're not for sale. Anyway. He says, the Holy Spirit says, so, well, this is hard. Has anyone but me found fasting to be difficult? Come on now. Okay, all right, thank God. I've got a few people here. I found it to be difficult. How would you? Is there some help? If there's some help available, Now, Holy Spirit talking here, and he says, remember that I enforce positional truth, says the Spirit of grace. The Father has given you the positional truth of the death of the body of Adam. You do know that God, pat that old arm. Hold your arm out there and pat it. God has, you know, God's looking at us and he goes, now their spirit, I'm going to quicken to new life. Their mind, I'm going to give them my word so they can renew it. But even though I'm God, their bodies, even I can't do anything with that. I just have to declare it dead. And I'll tell them, give them the hope that in the resurrection, they're going to get a new one. But even I can't do anything with that body. It just got to be dead. Did you know that's really what's happened? So God gave us the positional truth of the death of the body. But you know, my body just doesn't accept that. On its own, it's going, bet me. I'll show you who's dead or in here. You know, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to make your life miserable. And it does. Starts telling me even my reasoning gets foggy. If you don't eat, you will die. But it's only been 2 hours, you know. But the Holy Spirit says, the Father has given you the truth of the death of the body of Adam. He's also given you the positional truth of the life of Christ within you. As you draw upon that life within us, to overcome the flesh, understand you are not alone. I have come to bring forth His life in you, that you be transformed from glory to glory into that same image. That you have the same heart. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit, if we allow Him to do His work, we'll have the same heart, the same mind, and the same will of Him who preceded us, Jesus, to obey the Father regardless of suffering in the flesh. And isn't that our pattern? Isn't that the way Jesus did it? I have come to help you, the Holy Spirit says, by bringing forth that new nature within you. And how important is it? Listen to what he says here. All that life within us, those that are led by the Spirit, little s, that's the life that's in us. It's not the Holy Ghost exactly, it's the new nature. So when he says, he says here, all things are possible to that life. Amen. That new nature on the inside, that as it comes to maturity, as it becomes that mature son, now that where we yield to that nature, all things are possible to that life. It is His life within you that I baptize with dominion to put down all rebellion received from him who transgressed. This is the primary purpose, son, that the instruction has come from the mind of Christ for you to embrace the scourging post. It is the nature of Christ and the character of Christ that I'm bringing forward in you, that your heart be knit together with him, that your will and your mind become one with the living Christ. And that will is, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. The nature of Christ within you desires the Father's will be done upon the earth, even if it means suffering in the flesh. Even if it means obedience to the death of the cross. That is the nature and that is the character that I'm bringing forward in you. Oh, now listen to you. He's about to rattle religion now. Is that okay with you? Think you that the Son felt not the pain of every stripe? Think you that the ache of agony coursed not through His body with every lash? Think you that he suffered not the pain of penalty for every man's transgression as His flesh was ripped open by the stripes of judgment? His nature and His character kept Him at the scourging post. Boy, if you've seen that movie. I think Mel did a job. I'll tell you the scene that I... another degree of dying came into Gary Carpenter when I saw this one scene. And that's when the first time they laid the cross upon his shoulder. And he embraced it. And the crowd even jeered. Somebody in the crowd said, "Look at the fool. How he embraces the cross." Cannot be my disciple unless you take up your cross and follow me. And I'm tired of running from my cross. I'm tired of letting Gary's nature. When the Spirit tries to lay something on me that's just too difficult, and all He's trying to do is trying to get me where I can go do those things. And I feel the weight of that cross, and I run from it. No more. No more. Cannot be my disciple. Take up your cross. Why does He call it a cross? Because it's going to be hard. It's hard on us. How many times have you... How many times has the Spirit prompted you just to witness to somebody? Just to share Christ. And something in you. Well, just say the end result, you didn't do it. You just didn't do it. I was praying one day and I saw this vision of... Yes, sir. I saw this vision of a really bad guy. And in fact, I'll tell you who it was. I used to deliver trucks everywhere. And one of the places that we delivered them was a really bad area of New York, right down by the docks. And I mean, it was dangerous down there. We tried to time it so that we would get there within 15 minutes of when the place opened. Because we just, you didn't want to sit there too long. Well, because of some difficulties we had on the road, we were delayed over a whole weekend and wound up getting there like an hour early one time. And I mean, this is a scary place to be. I mean, these people, you feel like you're on another planet there. This one guy, people walking around with spiked hair, different colors, and they got chains through their nose. I mean, you just got to see these people. It's just, before daylight. And there was this one guy, I'll never forget this guy. He must have weighed 400 pounds. You know, it's like Eclipse. When he shows up, the sun just blocked out. I mean, just massive guy. This one was bald. From what I could see of the guy, he was tattooed from the neck down. He had on like a muscle shirt, the kind of t-shirt with no sleeves. What is it? A tank top type thing. And just tattoos everywhere. And he was carrying a ball bat, a big one, that had spikes through it. This is where they would send me to deliver trucks. I was meditating on this one day, and the Lord just showed me that guy again in my spirit. I remember the fear. Hey, every door in that truck got locked, and I got down in the seat where you couldn't see I was in there. I was going, I don't care if he tears this truck down as long as he leaves me alone. I didn't know what was going to happen. Fear. Just plain old fear. Well, one day I was meditating on this and trying to really understand what the Spirit was trying to minister to me. He says, "Now, what if he's up there again, that same old boy? I'm trying to bring him to heaven. Do you understand that?" He says, "I didn't say anything to you that day. Wasn't any point." What do you think? You think Jesus would have got down on the floorboard of that truck and hid? What do you think? Or you think he'd have run out and loved that guy? Cast the devil out of him. Got him free, got him saved, and made that guy into a disciple. And he said, in the simplest terms, he's going, until you're rid progressively as that kind of fear leaves you, I can use you. Progressively, as that kind of fear leaves you. And what's the message that's been coming through Pastor Dave here lately? No fear. See? But maturity in spirit has a lot to do. Perfect love is what casts out fear. Not trying not to be afraid. Trying not to be afraid doesn't work. Trust me. But perfect love, and the word perfect means mature love. Where you know, our grandson Cole has no fear of Mimi. Mimi, even if she has to correct him, he doesn't run from Mimi. He runs to Mimi. Can you see that? Perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Well, so the Holy Spirit was showing me using that as an example. See, that's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. He not only can teach you the Word, which He does, but He uses all of your life experiences to teach you. That's why He is the only one really qualified to be your mentor and your trainer. He brought that back to my mind, and boy, I remember that fear. I mean, just thinking about it, I think my heart rate started going up again. Boomity, boomity. That was a scary guy. Now, I'm telling you, he was a scary guy. I was there by myself in the dark. No police, nowhere, nothing. I mean, the whole area is crummy. It's this bad part of town. And he says, now what if I didn't say anything to you that day. There wasn't any point. Now, if that's not the perfect illustration of Romans 8:14, I couldn't receive, there was no point in the big S trying to lead me in that situation, because Gary is not yet yielded over enough to the little S. That new nature of Christ is not immature enough in me to even begin to hear any instructions like get out of this truck and go witness to that guy. You must be kidding. Okay. Can you see what? Now the scourging post starts dealing with fear. It does. You'll find out even after 4 days you didn't die. But part of that, it's dealing with fear, but it's also dealing with the part of us that just loves pleasure. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You know the Bible says none of that's even of the Father? Well, my ministry is bigger than your ministry. My car, my airplane has got 2 engines. How many engines your airplane got? All that competitive stuff, not any of it's even of the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, how do you want to do that? Okay, let me finish this up here. Think you that the Son felt not the pain of every stripe? Think you that the ache of agony coursed not through His body with every lash? Think you that He suffered not the pain of penalty for every man's transgression, as His flesh was ripped open by the stripes of judgment? His nature and His character kept Him at the scourging post until the will of the Father had been fully accomplished, though it meant great suffering for Him in the flesh. With the agony of every stripe, His heart cried out. Now picture that movie again. Slash. You saw it. Just ripped this flesh open. Can you imagine the pain that comes with that? And the blood splattering on the faces of those that were doing it. With every stripe, His heart cried out. His heart, Father, Thy will be done. This is the nature and the character I'm bringing forward in you. Progressive fasting is acting upon the positional truth given you by the Father. And I enforce positional truth, says the Spirit of grace. Now, get this next part, you guys. When he uses the word addiction here, you can take it to all extremes. At one end, you have people that's addicted on hard drugs. Heroin. Cocaine. Start moving up to what we call lighter addictions, but still just as deadly. You know, could be alcohol, painkillers, sleeping pills. keep moving up higher to what we call lesser addictions, but they're just as deadly because they bring apathy. Comfort, TV. Well, I'm about to touch the Holy Grail.
Come on.
Golf. It's a big one amongst big ministries. Be surprised. How many people are going to be in hell because of golf? And it's not golf. Golf isn't evil. You know? We're talking about addiction. Okay? Yes, sir. So that nobody escapes. Gossip. Some people are so addicted to it, it's like they've got to have it. It's like air. I've got to have that. So there's all kinds of addiction. Okay? Don't be looking down at anybody. But now he says it is true that I can and often do deliver without suffering instantly many people from all that you would call addiction. He said it's a small thing for me to cleanse the blood, the organs, and the emotions of all that man would call, quote, addiction. And you should know that I'll do this for you if you continue to petition the Father in this manner. But understand that the manifestation for you by that method would be according to His permissive will and not according to His perfect will. And that's when He said to me, for His plans for you, my son, are to send you into hard places to rescue His sheep where suffering in the flesh shall be required. To choose the method of instant deliverance where no transformation is required is to choose the path where no transformation is accomplished. I'll give you examples here in a minute. On that path, there is no transformation to the nature and character of Christ. And again, I say, His nature and His character desires that the will of the Father be accomplished, even if it means suffering in the flesh, and even if it means obedience unto death. Now, let me give you a couple examples from my life. I've told you about how I was an alcoholic for like 10 years before I got saved. And I mean, it was serious. We're not talking some minor. I mean, I hardly drew a sober breath for 10 years. And I in those days, I wore suits all the time because we were in real estate. And I would keep a flask. You know, I've actually had these young people ask me what a flask is. Y'all do know what a flask is, right? It's a little curved bottle that's small enough to fit on the inside pocket of a suit coat. And mine was always there and full of Southern Comfort. And I took great comfort in it. But I mean, I was never without alcohol close by. I kept it in the glove box of the car. I kept it in the bottom right locked drawer of my desk at work. I mean, I had it stashed here and there. And if I was somewhere where I absolutely knew that I was cut off from, I'd break out in a cold sweat. I mean, I was addicted. There was no such thing as a day without alcohol. And I got saved. I told you about that. Got born again, you know, and just sitting there. I mean, I really did, too. All I wanted to do was read my Bible. And I'd sit there reading the Bible. I'd read things, just reading it. Didn't understand hardly any of it. It just made me cry. Sitting there crying, loving Jesus, sipping my bourbon and Coke, smoking like a freight train. Just loving the Lord. You know, I feel sorry. How does Mr. T say that? I pity the fool that would judge me right then. I pity that fool that would judge me. Looking on the external. Man, a new creature had just been born. And I mean, that life was in there like a mustard seed. You couldn't hardly tell it yet. I mean, Jesus said it's smaller than all the other seeds that are in the garden. I had a lot of seeds in my garden. Alcoholism, nicotine addiction, love of money. Man, I had big trees. What I needed was crop failure massively in all these trees that I had. But there was another seed that was in there, and I was nurturing it. I was reading my Bible, loving the Lord. And I don't even remember praying about the alcohol addiction. I don't think I did. All I know is, he talks about he's able to do it. All I know is I went to bed in that condition, like I had for 10 years. I woke up the next morning sober. And I didn't want it anymore. And that was July of 1980, and I have never had another drink. But I do drink all that I want to. He cleansed me of it. There was no withdrawals. Now, there has been a couple of times in my life when stress would come, when the thought, that hasn't been so much now in these last 10 years, but there, every now and then, you know, and I'm not talking little things, when major things would come. Like they tell you, you got 6 months to live. I thought about having a drink. You know? I've got to tell you, I thought about it. Plus, I got so conditioned to being drunk to certain music in those days. I don't care if you know it or not. I was drunk so often to Long Train Running by the Doobie Brothers. For 10 years, at least. Every time I'd hear that song accidentally, how's Dave say, you know, Radio Shack window deal. Or in this car radio, if I would hear the song, it's like, you know, like Pavlov's dog, you know. Ring the bell, salivate. Ring the bell, salivate. I hear that song, I could taste bourbon and coke in my mouth. Isn't that odd? But it was never enough to cause me to go, I've never had another drink. But I know what it is to be delivered instantly without any withdrawals at all. Well, thank God. Trouble is, when you get it that way, you still, you know, there's been no suffering in the flesh for you to learn from. I've had other addictions. Gary, what are they? I'm not asking you what yours are. This is about you anyway. I really don't mind you knowing. It's just if I really tell you, then you'll focus. You say, well, I don't have that one, and then you're free. No, you're not. Until I see you walking as that mature son, totally yielded to the new nature, he's still preaching to you. Amen. And me too. I mean, that's why we're all here learning. Now, I've been through another one. This is one I told you about in 2003, January of 2003, where I had a close encounter of the God kind. And this addiction I'd had longer than the alcohol. I'd had this one for 42 years. That's a fair amount. You know, after 42 years, even you begin to think, I ain't never going to be free. And it's not that I hadn't tried 100 times. More than 100, probably. And done all the things that I'd ever read or heard on anybody's tapes. You know, like, I surrender this, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I can't do this. You do it in me. I've been in lines and had, you know, I've had Kenneth Hagin. I've been in one line where Kenneth Hagin laid hands on us, on me about that. Where Marilyn Hickey one time laid hands on me about that. Bobby Andean laid. I mean, I've been in line after line after line. Didn't work. That's all I can tell you. Didn't work. Then that morning in January of 2003... And it was, I don't remember exactly what time. It's unusual because I'm usually an early go-to-bed person. But this was like 1 in the morning. And I had this vision. And it had been after 1 year of series fasting. Now, I was doing the series fasting about something else. Remember I told you about trying to get Tommy out of the wheelchair? That was my whole motivation. But it doesn't change the fact for 1 year, I was serious about series fasting. It always sounds funny, but serious about series fasting. Before then, I was not serious. What does that mean? I'd fast 3 days at least once every quarter. Let that sink in. Or does that just not sound strange to you? I'd fast 2 or 3 days, and 3 months later, I'd do it again. No, he said to get serious about it. So for a year, I never let up. I'd 2 or 3 days not eating, 2 or 3 days eating. 3 or 4 days not eating, 3 or 4 days eating. 1 or 2 days, 3 or 4, 2 or 4, like that. The only time I really took off was during conference. Because he told me, he says, this whole thing's about people. And when they're here, you minister to them. You get plenty of time to fast when it's not conference time. Anyway. Well, then I had this encounter with the Lord, and he just showed me this thing. He says, you're going to have to deal with this because there's places I've got to send you. There's places where the Lord wants you to go that you can't go. There's no point in me sending you. They won't listen to anything you say. And he says, now, you know, you'll have a good reward when you get here. You're doing good work for me at this level. I love you. You love me. We're fine. But if you continue and don't deal with this, then when you get to heaven, and I just was seeing the Lord, he's going like, I'm going to have to draw back this curtain and show you. I don't know why I'm always standing here. I'm going to have to... Jew, no. He said, I'm going to have to draw back this curtain and let you see those things that it was my will for you to do that you never did do because you never did deal with this. And I'm going, I can't stand that, Lord. I can't stand there on that day and have you show me where I failed you. I've got to be able to deal with this. But Lord, I've tried to deal with it 100 times. You know I have. He says, try it again. See, that's the Lord. Try it again. So again, it's not the first time I've done it. Again, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Now, I'd prayed that before. Yes, sir. We good? Okay. Well, make a long story short. This one, trust me, was not without withdrawals. This one, I made it through day one, not an hour at a time, not a minute at a time, more like a breath at a time. I mean, it was hard, and it was hard all day. I was so hard, I'd have trouble having conversations. Okay? And I had to preach. I was there to preach. I had trouble even remembering your name, remembering just even listening long, you know, being able to focus on what you're saying enough to be able to respond to you in a conversation. It was hard. And it was hard for about a year and a half. I actually went through a whole day and it dawned on me about the time to go to bed. I didn't have to fight that today. Never even thought of it. That was about a year and a half later. Now I've got deliverance by both methods. Okay? Both methods work, by the way. I'm free from alcohol. I'm free from this other one. But I'm telling you, getting free by that second method toughened me up. I mean, I had to want it, and I had to want my Lord's will for me more than I wanted that thing. And I wanted that thing bad. Okay? There is something in me, some change that came in me that says, no, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. No, no. Constantly wanting it, constantly wanting it. No! Something through that method has caused me to, I know He can send me into places now. Tougher places. I don't know if I can go get the guy in New York yet. But I know He can send me in tougher places now than He sent me before. Because there's been an exercise of that dominion over my flesh. Just another little degree. Amen? All right, now, getting close to the end of this. Go ahead and turn to... Let me do it this way. Turn to John 12. We're just going to look at verse 25, but it's so important. I want you to see it in your Bible. John 12, 25. And Jesus is talking about that. This is that passage where He's talking about Himself being like a seed, and He's going to be that corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies so that His Father's will. So keep your place there and also turn to Revelations 12, 11. John 12:25 reads like this: He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life, now notice, in this world. He's talking about that earthly part of us. His life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Let's go ahead and read Revelations 12:11. Keep your place. Revelations 12:11. Now, most of the time, for years, I thought I was quoting this verse correctly, and I was not. And I find that most people that say it, they don't mean to, but they leave off the last phrase. Now let's read the whole verse. And they overcome him, they overcame him, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And that's the way I quoted it for years. But the verse doesn't finish there. And they love not their lives unto the death. Not unto death. Unto the death. That's significant. Now look up here at me. I saw this in a movie years ago, but I also saw it in South Africa when I got to go there. You know how they capture a monkey there? They hollow out a little place in a tree that's just big enough for, it depends on the size monkey, but it's just big enough for the monkey to be able to put his hand in there. Then they'll take something real shiny, like a rhinestone necklace or, you know, some kind of, it could be anything. It could be a shiny tin can. But it's got to be something that reflects light. Something shiny. Could be an earring. Could be anything. They'll put that in that little hollowed out place. And the monkey, his hand is small enough. I mean, the opening, they've got it, you know, configured correctly. When his hand is empty, he can reach right in there. But he reaches in there because he wants the shiny thing. Once his hand closes like a fist on the shiny thing, his hand won't come back out through that opening. And here come the trappers. And he sees them coming. And he's trying to escape. And all he has to do is let go of the shiny thing and he's free. But there's something in him that will not let him go. He can't let go of the shiny thing. I must have this. Yeah, but if you don't let go, you're going to die. I still can't let go of it. What is the shiny thing that the enemy has us hang on to like that? It's your life in this world. It's your life in this world. No, I can't let go of that. I can't. But the devil's going to destroy you. The devil's going to run your whole life. He's going to use, you're trapped. Let go of your life. I can't let go. But here comes the enemy. I still can't let go. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they lived not their lives unto death. Let go of the shiny thing.